Chapter 14. Kim's whole body was pulsing with the frantic racing of his heartbeat. He could hear it in his ears and feel it in his throat, even as his pack scented and soothed him. The three of them were in a pile on the floor, Kim basically sitting in Tenkun's lap, still panting into his shoulder. Kim had one of his hands fisted in the hem of Kin's shirt. They hadn't been this close in ages. It brought back bad memories of doing this for Tenkun with his wrists and neck bandaged, his eyes hollowed out with horror. Tenkun tightened his arms around Kim's waist. His brothers cared. And that was very nice, but it was also the worst possible outcome, because that meant Kim was going to get them both hurt. Hi, Kim. Whatever your twisty little mind is telling you, it's not true, Tenkun said, tugging on his hair. So smart, but it gets you in so much trouble. Kim pulled away from him, feeling terror rise to a boil inside him.
Don't try to stop our father. Promise me.
Oh, honey, Tenkun said pityingly. Kim bared his teeth.
I'm not promising that.
Kim used his grip on Kin's shirt to yank him closer. Their scents were so intermixed that it was impossible to differentiate the three of them now.
I'm not fucking asking!
Kin's eyes were on fire with anger. It hadn't registered, because Kin's anger was never a threat, just an inconvenience. But Kim was faced with the full fury of it now. Kin, if you challenge him on this, he's not going to let it go.
I know. You don't know!
The panic was an inferno, burning everything. Tenkun was making shushing noises and trying to pat his back soothingly, but it didn't help.
He told me how it would go a long time ago. It's either you or me for this shit. I'm already doing it, and I'm fine, so just leave it!
Kin and Tenkun both made identical wounded sounds.
Is that why you never came to me?
Kin said, faltering a little. Kim released his shirt and covered his growing nausea with a scoff.
I'm the best person to do it anyway.
You are not! Tenkun said fiercely. Kim remembered once again, like a punch to the stomach, that his brothers had seen the list of his kills. They knew what kind of missions he'd run. Made him want to throw up. His legs were still entwined with Tenkun's, and Kin had settled a hand on his knee. They touched him like they used to when he was little, back when he was good and clean and easy to love. His brothers didn't seem to realize he wasn't that boy anymore. They touched him like they didn't mind doing it. Against his own better judgment, it was calming him down.
Did you know that Big took out the target Chan sent you last week?
Kin asked, trying for steady and missing by a mile.
We made it a quick knife job in a back alley. It didn't have to be like how our father had you do it. Whatever he told you, it's probably not true. I've been learning that over the last few weeks.
Kin didn't have an ounce of grief in his voice, which caught Kim by surprise. Maybe he'd worked through it already, or maybe it had never been there. It sounded like he was talking about an enemy. Kim's mouth moved without his permission.
He promised to leave you both out of it if I did what he wanted. Yes, well,
Kin said tightly.
He promised me the same thing.
Adrenaline crackled up Kim's spine. Kin was gripping his knee so tightly that it ached. What? Kin's anger was trickling into the room, but when he looked at Kim, his face was bleak.
I made him a deal right after I presented. I wouldn't fight him on becoming the heir, and the two of you got to live your lives away from all of this.
Kim shook his head, his whole vision of the last several years flipping on its head. All of Kin's silence, his distance, his absence, recontextualized.
Why would you do that? You both need it out, Kin said, like it was really that simple. I was always going to be the heir anyway. At least this way, I got something out of it.
Kin's demeanor darkened.
I knew he was lying about so many things, but I didn't think he'd lie about that. I thought there was a line.
Kim rubbed his chest. It hurt like Kin had shot him. This is my fault, Tenkun said dully. He was watching them, his hands fallen limply at his side.
No, Kin said immediately.
It isn't, Kim argued. Tenkun laughed bitterly. Of course it is! This was all supposed to be my responsibility. If I wasn't so... Ugh, I'm the oldest!
You've already given up enough,
Kin said, his tone final. Tenkun's hand went to where his neck was covered by the collar of his robe. He never left his ruined scent glands exposed, but Kim still remembered the scars there, shredded by his kidnappers all those years ago. Kim rubbed his arm.
Kun, nobody blames you.
If that's true, nobody can blame you either, Tenkun replied. He pressed his slipper against Kim's ankle.
Kim wasn't sure that should be true. He had done terrible things. He'd become a terrible thing.
There's only one person to blame, Kim said, and I'm tired of him playing us against each other.
Tenkun cleared his throat. That's right! Just look at the two of you. Self-sacrifice is stupid, which is why I never do it. You should learn from your pee.
They really meant it. And that, more than anything, stripped away the last defenses Kim had.
If you get hurt, it's all pointless.
Exactly, Kim said, meeting his gaze.
Now you're getting it! Kim squeezed his eyes shut, and something like a laugh scraped its way out of his throat. Tenkun seemed to take that as encouragement. Finally, he learns the way of a pack! It's only taken me his entire life to explain it to him!
Pack. Kim had used the word his whole life. But it had always meant people he protected and people he loved. It hadn't really occurred to him that it might flow both ways. He tucked away all the emotions he had about that for later.
Tenkun softened a little bit, seeing his face. It's all right, Nong. We can practice, okay?
We were supposed to have this conversation after we'd solidified the plan,
Kin said, apologetic.
But you figured it out too quickly.
I am nosy, Kim agreed.
Tenkun laughed a bit too hard at that, but it relaxed the room. The smoky anger started to dissipate, leaving behind peace. But Kin was still every inch ahead Alpha when he said,
I plan to take control of our pack. I already have the business. I'm taking the rest.
The power in him shivered through Kim. That moment, he believed Kim could do it.
Our father isn't going to give that position up willingly.
No,
Kim agreed, his voice sinking low.
He is not.
Kim, you don't have to do this for me.
It's not just for you,
Kim said steadily.
What he and Uncle did to Vegas was unacceptable. If this is how our pack treats Omegas, how can I make Porsche my...
Kim suddenly broke off, ears turning a violent red.
Kim! Tenkun crowed. Can't make him your what?
It was a welcome break in the tension. Kim's shoulders started to unclench, and he saw Kim's do the same.
His personal masseuse, probably,
Kim said dryly.
Maybe his social media manager.
His golf partner. I love him!
Kim burst out.
I want to make him my mate. If he says yes.
He looked embarrassed and pleased.
Aww!
Tenkun put his hands over his heart.
I don't want to hear about it,
Kim said. But he understood. In the brief moments right before falling asleep with Che next to him, Kim had thought about bonding. It was impossible, because that would mean bringing Che into the evil that was their family. Kim would never do that to someone he cared about. Though, if Kim was the head alpha Che had to accept, it might be a different story.
I have an idea, Kim said, but it's going to take a few days to get moving. What's your timeline? I don't know. I'm waiting for the right moment. Do you think Porsche would like fireworks?
Kim rolled his eyes.
For fuck's sake.
I meant your timeline for the takeover. Kim's ears were practically glowing red.
Right, of course. I'm still wrangling some of the lesser family's loyalties into shape, so we have time.
But, Kim grew serious again.
I meant what I said before. Stay home with Che and make your music. I can do this alone.
Right. Alpha brothers. He'd almost forgotten what it was like to have them hover, smothering and comforting in equal measure.
I don't think so. I can do it,
Kim insisted. Good for you.
That's not happening. You shouldn't have to fight anymore.
Kim was giving him these big, wounded eyes.
I want to fight,
Kim emphasized. Who do you think has been keeping the street gangs in line while you've been busy, huh?
Ooh, Kim, Tenkun drawled. I'm telling Porsche you don't respect an Omega's right to commit murder.
What? No, I do. Don't tell him that.
Watching Kim flounder woke some deep little brother instinct that Kim wasn't even aware he still possessed. Before he really thought about it, he brought a drawl to his voice and said,
You know, Che would let me fight whoever I wanted.
He hadn't seen Kim this flustered since he'd accidentally broken the ice sculpture swan at Tenkun's 14th birthday party.
I didn't mean...
Che,
Kim continued, would say you're promoting oppressive social norms disguised as care.
Oh my god,
Kim groaned.
Porsche is coming into this with some high standards,
Kim said airily.
You might want to think about that.
Kim chucked his empty bottle of coconut water at his head. Kim snatched it out of the air and whipped it back. It connected with Kim's shoulder in a satisfying thunk.
It was old muscle memory from long ago, but it felt natural.
I need 1 week to finalize my idea, Kim said. Then we talk again.
Fine, Kin huffed.
But we can still text, right?
Tenkun said plaintively.
I like the texts.
Sure, but Kin probably can't understand half of the memes.
Kin threw his hands up in the air.
You know what? I'm going to pick up dinner from the kitchens. And you're going to eat it and not complain.
Excited to see how that works out for you, Kim said, deadpan.
Ah, sweet familial harmony,
Tenkun sighed dreamily.
So precious.
Porsche lay sprawled on their couch, playing the new Switch that had appeared recently in Che's backpack. But Che couldn't sit still. He paced the length of their living room, then the kitchen, then back again.
What if I just...
Nope.
We could both...
Nuh-uh.
It wouldn't be dangerous. I've been there before.
Porsche paused his game and looked up.
You're not going into that house again. Stop asking.
Kin said they were all fine.
You are being an overprotective jerk right now.
And you're being ridiculous.
Che stomped his foot with frustration.
Kim's Pack Omega was forced into heat. And the last time I talked to him, he sounded upset. And he's not here.
Hey, whoa. Porsche got up and approached him, his scent trying to comfort. Calm down.
But Che didn't want to calm down. He wanted to break down doors until he got to where Kim was, and then bring him back into their nest.
Sent me? Porsche offered.
It won't help, Che said, moving closer to Porsche anyway.
I know you're fine. You've been with me the whole time.
And Kin and Tenkun have been with Kim the whole time. Porsche pointed out.
They don't know how to help him, and I do. He needs me, not them. He should be here.
Poor Che, Porsche reprimanded sharply.
Arg, I know. I'm sorry. I know, okay?
Che, Porsche repeated, gentler. Che groaned and dropped his head against Porsche's shoulder. Porsche knuckled the top of Che's head.
I don't have to ask what's gotten into you, because you're worried and in love. But this isn't how I raised you.
Che's body drooped at the disappointment in Porsche's voice.
I'm sorry. It's all right, pup. I just want him.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Porsche's voice had taken on a bit of amusement now. Pretty sure he wants you, too.
Then he should be here,
Che complained, but it lacked the previous bite. Porsche's scent was working its familiar magic, calming Che down and telling him that his pack was safe.
I mean, it is kind of a dick move not to answer your texts, Porsche said. His loyalty switching.
Right?
Che said indignantly.
Kin always answers me, Porsche said smugly.
Che dug his fingers into his ribs in retaliation.
How?
I can't believe Pekin hasn't shown up here to drag you back after all this.
He's texted me 23 times to ask if I have enough suppressants and if I'm feeling all right, Porsche said wryly. On the phone he gave me, that currently only has his number unblocked. I wouldn't be praising his restraint just yet.
Che butted his head into Porsche.
You have enough medication. You're fine. No one will force a heat on you or Kim.
Porsche ruffled his hair.
That's right. Everyone's fine. According to Kin's last text, He's making Kim eat dinner.
Excited to see how that works out for him.
Come on, Porsche coaxed. Show me the songs you've been working on. Che let himself be manipulated into a better mood by his brother and his guitar. But the need for Kim still ran through him, dangerous and silent, like underground rivers that could swallow a person down. Che had been raised better than this. He shook it off and played another song for Porsche. It was dark by the time they heard a car outside. Porsche tensed, then relaxed when a familiar scent wafted in through the open windows. Che met his knowing look with a grin and dashed to the front door, dropping the guitar unceremoniously on the couch. In the dim light, Kim looked hazy, like something out of a dream. He was wearing the simple white t-shirt he'd had on this morning when they'd parted. It made him glow in the warm yellow of the porch light. Che waited for him in the doorway, just to watch him come closer. Che wanted him. But the closer Kim got, the more obvious it became that he was smudged around the edges with bone-deep exhaustion. He stopped when he got to the doorway, eyes locked on Che, but not making a move to come inside. Che instantly felt guilty for all his previous thoughts. Kim had clearly been through something terrible today. He needed Che's softness, not whatever this crazy thing was inside of him right now. So Che brushed Kim's cheek gently with his thumb. "Welcome home, P. Kim." Kim said, noncommittal. "You don't have to talk. I know it's hard. Just nod yes or no. Are you hurt anywhere?"
"I can talk just fine," Kim said, an edge in his voice.
Okay. Good.
"Hey, Porsche," Kim called, raising his voice. "If you don't get into my brother's car in the next 30 seconds, he can't guarantee your safety."
Porsche materialized in the doorway, practically bouncing with glee.
"Did he say that?"
"Horrifyingly, yes, he did." Kim grimaced. "I'm never talking to him again. It's fine."
"Aw, you guys had fun," Porsche cooed.
Kim smelled completely and overwhelmingly of his brothers. They'd clearly done a thorough pack scenting.
"That was fine."
"It was great."
Kim didn't normally smell like any alpha other than Che, but obviously brothers and pack were different. It was good that Kim had people who cared about him. That was what Che had wanted. Kim to feel safe and happy. A voice deep inside of Che reminded him that what he actually wanted was to be the one who made Kim feel that way.
"Updates on Vegas?" Kim asked.
Porsche made a face.
"Pete said he found him. I assume they're..."
"Yeah."
"Guess it was already too late to stop it, but I still worry," Porsche fretted. "I don't know any details. Just that Vegas, well, you know."
"Yeah. Would have been worse to keep them apart."
"I guess you're right."
Che knew that Vegas was the Omega who'd been hurt, and Porsche had talked about his friend Pete before, but he didn't know what exactly had happened. He assumed that, like everything in his new life, it was complicated. Kim wasn't talking to him at all. He was focused on Porsche. It was making Che itch.
"Has it been at least 60 seconds? Porsche asked, craning his neck to look at Kim's car, which was waiting threateningly on the street.
"Nasty," Kim said, yanking Porsche out of the doorway and taking his place next to Che. go.
Bye, Nongs, Porsche sang, giving Che a dramatic kiss on the forehead. His attempt with Kim was thwarted by a neat sidestep. Porsche walked out to the street more slowly than Che had ever seen his brother do anything in his life.
We should go inside, Kim said. Don't want to see what happens when he gets to the car.
At least Kim was talking to him now.
Good call.
Kim had spent more nights in Che's house than Che had spent in his apartment. It was normal for him to be here. But somehow, the emptiness of the house felt dangerous tonight. Che's mind was a wild riot. Kim smelled like different alphas. Friendly alphas, sure, but they weren't him. Kim stood poised in the living room like he was spoiling for a fight. Underneath the smudges of tiredness was a gleam of something sharp and expectant. It struck against Che's own weird mood, and both their scents kicked up. Kim's crisp scent cut through him like a mountain wind. His intensity reminded Che of the first time they met. Kim was honed in on every detail of Che's body language, as if he was a complex puzzle that Kim could solve. Che didn't have the patience to coax Kim through whatever labyrinth stood between him and his words.
P. Kim, tell me something true.
I talked with my brothers. Kim watched him. I know what you told them.
For God's sake, Pikun, a little warning would have been nice.
Are you mad that I did?
Kim shook his head, but then said,
Maybe. I don't know.
You told me once that I could be ruthless. Kim's mind seemed to be skipping from topic to topic.
Kun said they told you some stuff about what I did.
Okay. They were having this conversation. Che forced himself to relax. Kim deserved all the gentleness he had in him.
It didn't change how I see you. I mean, I've literally seen you kill people before, and I'd been putting the rest together. I told you already, right? I like all of you.
That expectation in Kim seemed to draw a little tauter. He stepped into Che's space, his scent a cool balm over Che's heat.
My brothers and I went over all my targets one by one, trying to figure out why they were important to my father, and if we could use any of that to take him down.
Oh, be Kim. That sounds awful, Che said quietly.
He rested soft fingers on Kim's elbow. Kim looked like he was waiting for something.
Do you want to hear about them too?
If Kim told him, Che was going to want to dig up those alphas' corpses just to kill them again. He would do something crazy.
If you want to tell me, he made himself say.
Kim jerked his arm away from Che's soft touch. He took a step closer, and there were a lot of emotions roiling in his eyes.
What would you do if I told you that a few of them fucked me?
That wild, dangerous thing roared up inside Che at the thought. Che clenched his hands into fists. He was raised better than this. Porsche had raised him better.
I'd ask if you were okay with it. And if you were, then I'm okay with it too.
Kim stepped closer so that his warm breath ghosted against Che's cheek. Che swallowed. He could never be afraid of Kim, but he was afraid of himself and the energy that was building between them.
And if I wasn't okay with it? Kim asked.
The growl that ripped out of Che's chest surprised them both. Kim's eyes widened, then narrowed in calculation.
"Sorry," Che said, trying to clamp down on his scent. "Sorry, it's been a long day. Obviously, I mean, it's been way longer for you."
"Che," Kim said, slicing through Che's excuses and his composure. "Tell me what you would want to do." Che squeezed his fists so tightly, his nails cut into his palms. He leaned towards Kim, helpless to stop the undercurrent of the growl to his words.
"I would want to make you smell like me again. Whatever they did to you before, you're mine now. I want to make sure you know it. I want to push everyone else out of your head."
Kim's eyes were very dark. He was balancing on the balls of his feet, like he was deciding whether to run. Che took a shaky breath and let it out slowly.
"I can go outside and calm down."
"I'm pissed that you went behind my back," Kim said abruptly.
"I probably deserve that," Che said. "But I'm not sorry your brothers know. Also, would it kill you to respond to just one of my texts?"
"Don't do it again."
"I won't. Text me back when it's serious."
"Fine. What you said you want to do to me, you should do it."
Che's body jolted. That banked heat from earlier kicked up into flames.
"Which part?"
Kim's hot eyes roamed his body.
"Any part."
"I'm really... it's all confusing, and there's all these hormones, and I was so worried. But I love you so much. I should be better than this. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry."
Kim lunged for him, and gave him a kiss that was more like a bite.
"I am not breakable," he snarled into Che's mouth. "Quit acting like it."
Che used the last remnants of his common sense to gasp out,
"No, not that. But you're important."
"I swear to God, Che, fucking do something."
So, for the first time, Che reached out and pulled Kim into a kiss. He curled his fingers hard into Kim's arms because he wanted to keep him there. He licked inside Kim's mouth until it didn't taste just like Kim anymore. It tasted like them. One part reclaimed.
"I'm gonna, but you tell me if it's no," Che rambled, reaching out and lifting Kim's shirt over his head.
"Always tell me if the answer is no." The shirt fluffed Kim's hair around his face in a dandelion puff. Che smoothed it, purring just as helplessly as he was growling before.
"Cute. So cute."
He ran his fingers through the fine, silky strands, letting them slip through his fingers again and again. Kim was looking at him, and his dark eyes were wide now, with something that looked like disbelief.
"Che."
"Hmm?
This is what you wanted?"
"Hmm."
Che nosed Kim's hairline. He could still smell Kin and Tenkun, and that was unacceptable.
"You're right. Shower. Wait, no. Ours isn't nice enough. Bedroom."
He grabbed Kim's elbow and dragged him upstairs into the bedroom. The wildness had a direction now. It felt like all of that molten heat was flowing like rocket fuel in his veins, propelling him to do what he wanted to do. He pushed Kim down onto the edge of their bed. Their nest. Immediately, it was better. This place was theirs. It drowned out everyone else.
Jay dropped down to his knees to untie Kim's shoes.
Jay,
Kim said again, strangled. He didn't sound upset about it, though, so Che figured he was good to continue. He pulled off Kim's shoes and socks, and then unbuttoned his jeans. They'd done stuff without pants before, but Kim had always undressed himself. "Tell me if you don't like it," Che said, and then wiggled Kim's jeans down to his thighs. The outline of his half-hard cock was obvious through his black briefs, but Che ignored it. Kim had beautiful thighs. Che bent his head and kissed them, right where the skin was sensitive. Kim made a sound above him. A good sound. Che kissed his way along them, sucking small, purple bruises. The rhythm of it felt almost meditative. The dark, hot place between Kim's thighs smelled like him and now bore his marks. That was as it should be.
Che.
It sounded like a plea. Kim was so hard now that he was straining against his briefs, the material dampening. Che had never actually seen Kim's dick. Kim had never taken off his briefs or boxers in bed, and he'd never had an orgasm with him, as far as Che knew. He'd wind them both up, but only Che would tumble down. Che glanced up at him and saw Kim staring back, his lips bitten red, a flush on his face and his bare chest. He looked as wild as Che had felt earlier, his fists clenched tightly into the bedsheet. Today was not the day to push that particular line. Che stood up and pushed him back onto their nest of blankets and pillows. He tugged Kim's jeans off the rest of the way. Then he shed his own clothes and shimmied in behind him. He manhandled Kim onto his side and then wrapped himself around his back. His hand stroked Kim's chest, the way he knew Kim liked. He pressed open-mouthed kisses to Kim's nape, wet and loose.
"I want to make a mess," Che said. "My mess. Can I get it all over you so you smell like me?"
Kim pressed back against him and groaned, sounding like it came all the way up from his toes.
"Kim."
Che nipped the back of Kim's neck, making him twitch.
"Can I?"
"Yes,"
Kim said, voice muffled. Che grinned.
"Thank you."
He slotted Kim's legs between his, so he could rub against him with delicious friction.
"I love you, Kim. Do you know that?"
Kim let out a breathy laugh. Che suddenly couldn't stand not being able to witness that laugh.
Turn, I want to see your face."
Kim turned around in his arms and then put his knee right back for Che to grind down on. Che grabbed Kim's face with both hands and brought him close to pepper his face with kisses.
"Tell me what you're thinking about right now."
Kim's eyes were doing that half-lidded, dazed thing they did when Che was making him feel really good. Che knew what he meant, but tonight that wasn't good enough.
"No, tell me with words," Che demanded. "What are you thinking about?"
"You."
Their mouths were so close together that the word slid out of Kim's mouth and into Che's. Kim rocked more firmly into him.
"This."
"You're so good."
Che pressed their mouths together in a slick slide.
"And I'm the best judge, because I know you."
"You do,"
Kim breathed into him. Che bucked forward. Do I know you better than your pack knows you?
Kim nodded.
How about the other guys on campus? Your fans?
Kim's nods got more frantic. Their faces were so close that Che could only see him in snapshots. Parted lips, fluttering eyelashes, sheen of sweat on a cheek. The heat rushed up in Che again, ripping away his usual caution.
Do I know you better than the people you've killed?
Kim jerked, but Che held him close. They both stilled, Che balancing right on the edge. He buried his face in Kim's sweaty, delicious shoulder and said,
Do I know you better than the people who hurt you?
Kim's heart was beating so fast, Che could feel it in his own chest. His scent cut like a knife, but it didn't hurt. He nodded against Che's neck.
Words, Kim. You do,
Kim choked out.
You know me better.
That's right, Che growled. All of his instincts howled in agreement. Yes, yes, this was what he'd wanted.
Whatever people did to you, this, what we are, is only for us.
Something in Kim seemed to snap then. He flipped them over so he was on top of Che. He wrapped his slender fingers around Che's cock and gave him an agonizingly slow stroke. Che threw his arms around his neck and dragged him close.
Yes, good, that's so.
Kim sped up his rhythm. Just a few more strokes, then Che was flying. Kim curled on top of Che as he came down. They wrapped their arms around each other, stroking any skin they could reach. Kim's cock pressed hard between them until it slowly softened. Kim pressed open-mouthed kisses to Che's throat, light enough that they eventually made Che giggle. Kim blew a raspberry on Che's chest, and Che shrieked, then fell back laughing. Kim propped above him on one arm, smiling at him. His smile made him look goofy, younger. Che darted up and pressed his own smile against it, just to feel it.
Thanks, Che said shyly, for putting up with me when I was like that.
Like what? Kim asked, because he was a bully. Che put a hand over his eyes.
You know.
Tell me with words, Kim teased.
Oh, hush, you. You know what I mean. I was being kind of, alpha, I guess. I should have controlled it better. I'm sorry.
Did I look like I minded? Che peered through the gaps in his fingers.
No?
Kim took Che's hand off his face and threaded their fingers together. If I'm allowed to be an Omega, you're allowed to be an Alpha. Kim looked down at their entwined hands, something unsure in the slope of his mouth. Right?
Che hadn't really thought about it that way.
He brought their hands to his lips.
Right.
He thought a little bit more and then said,
Thank you. Seriously. I don't want to be one of those alphas, you know?
Kim smiled again. Wow. That smile. You never could be. If Che's entire lifetime of luck had been spent on this, it was more than worth it. Author's notes. Kim.
Oh, woe is me! How I suffer the mortifying ordeal of being known!
Che. Hot. Kim.
What?
Che.
What?